Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Guest is a former professional rugby player and he's now an adventurer, but he had a 16-year career on the rugby pitches playing in the Celtic League, now the Pro 14. And since then, he has done some of the most amazing adventures, I have to say, just reading the list of things he's done, visiting more than 50 countries on 6 continents. And just constantly challenging himself in different ways with different expeditions that have taken him to places like the Pamir Mountains in Afghanistan or Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. Well, his next challenge is one that's going to be happening in 10 days, 12 hours, 9 minutes and 32 seconds to be precise, according to the countdown on his website. And it's all about one man, one boat and 4,800 kilometres. He's going to be rowing across the Atlantic Ocean. It's great to have with me on the line Damien Brown. Good morning, Damien. How are you?
Good morning, Wendy. I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, where in the world are you at the moment? Because you're training away.
Yeah, right at the moment, I'm actually in La Gomera. It's one of the Canary Islands. It's just south of Tenerife. And this is where we start from, start the race that you alluded to, the race across the Atlantic in 10 days' time or so.
So tell us a little bit about what you're going to embark on then.
So simply, it's a solo and unsupported row across the Atlantic Ocean. It's about just under 3,000 nautical miles, which is about 4,800 kilometres. And it'll take me, like I said, I'm a solo rower, so it'll take me somewhere in the range of 50 to 90 days. 50 days would be a fast crossing, and that would mean that a lot of the conditions, the weather and the winds would be in my favour. And then on the other side of the spectrum, 90 days would mean everything hasn't been so favourable.
There's a big difference between the two, isn't there?
Huge difference, yeah. You know, these boats are very susceptible to winds. They're designed to use the wind to their advantage. So when the wind is against you, they're not much good. They're very, very hard work, you know. So you don't go very far, basically.
And how do you prepare yourself? Because there's a physical challenge, Damien, of course, which is, for me, it's kind of unfathomable. That's part one. We'll get to that shortly. But how do you prepare yourself for the kind of psychological and mental challenge of just being solo for that amount of time and kind of having to motivate yourself?
Yeah, I suppose a lot of it is in your personal motivation. You know, why are you doing it? That would be your kind of almost your anchor. That would be what you would rely on in the lowest times. You know, there will be very low times, but you know, from my background as a professional rugby player, I've all sorts of processes that we would have used. You know, it's not the most romantic thing, but they're very effective. So like mental resets and visualizations, you know, so just a lot of them bring you back to basically process-orientated stuff and stuff you can control. Because, you know, when you're in low places, you want control, you know, you want to get back in control mentally. So that's what I would use a lot of that. I would have used a lot of that in my training. I've been training for the last 18 months for this. So, yeah, those are my kind of, like I said, my anchors that I rely on in bad times.
So how do you train for such a challenge as this then, Damien?
Well, you kind of split it into three different parts. There's the strength and conditioning part, you know, so you try and get in the kind of best, you get your body in the best performance nick it can get into, and then you have the technical side, which you do on the water. So there's a lot of learnings. Like, I have no maritime background or not even no rowing background, but maritime is a lot more important. You know, it takes up most of your day, like just trying to learn about the sea and the boat and how the boat works. And so there's been a big steep learning curve, and to be honest with you, that learning curve will continue, I'd say, about 2 to 3 weeks into the race, you know, because as much training as you do, you just don't know. You just don't know what you're going to get hit with, you know, or what to expect. So there'll definitely be some, you know, some adaption and some learnings the first few weeks.
From a practical perspective, how are you going to do things like eat and sleep?
Eating is simply, we have to carry all the food. So I carry 90 days worth of food. And I've 6,500 calories a day. It's all dehydrated or freeze-dried rations. So all I have to do is boil water and add it to them. Now the water comes from the sea. I have a water maker on board that will desalinate the seawater, and then I'll boil that up and just add it to my food. Sleeping is, as a solo, it's a tricky one, you know. it's you're kind of at the, you know, the elements are what you have to deal with, you know. So when you go to sleep, the boat just drifts, basically. And hopefully it's drifting west in the right direction.
When you wake up, what do? You do kind of go, oh, where am I now? How far have I drifted? Have I gone backwards?
Yeah. So we'll put in, like, I'll put in waypoints, basically just points that are across the, that I plot my course across the Atlantic. And that'll all be put into the GPS. So I'll know, basically, from before and from when I wake up, kind of how far I've drifted off my course. Now, you know, I've been reassured and told many times, like, 50 to 100 miles in the middle of the Atlantic is nothing. So I have, I'll wait and see on that one. But, previous rowers have told me, so I have to kind of take them at their word.
Damien, you've done some amazing things, like a 257-kilometre marathon in the Sahara. Is this your toughest challenge yet, do you reckon?
Oh, yeah, I think without a doubt. I don't think anything I've done even compares to this. Even to the point I'm at now, just getting to the start line has been, you know, 18 months of, you know, hard work. You know, it's an expensive endeavour, and you have to get people to, you know, come on board and help you support the expedition. And then also, you know, you have the charity element, raising funds for three charities close to me. So there's a hell of a lot goes into it. It's not just the row, you know, and just getting here is hard enough, and all the learnings that go through that. And, you know, I haven't even, like I said, I haven't even rowed yet. So, no, it's been testing, but it's been great. You know, I've learned a hell of a lot, and I've been kind of pushed out of my comfort zone. And I think when that happens to anyone, it's always a good thing, if uncomfortable at times.
Is that what it's about for you when you're kind of deciding on your next challenge? Are you always trying to kind of beat the last one, both physically and personally?
No, not so much. Like, I'm not always these epic feats of, like, endurance or mentally taxing things. You know, sometimes for me it's as simple as going to and traveling through a country that I've never been to, you know, and maybe one that is less traveled, you know. So this one always appealed to me, though. I read a book about it 12 years ago, James Cracknell and Ben Fogle, two English guys who did it in 2005, and, you know, just something in my gut told me it was for me, and that, you know, I knew then and there that I'd take it on someday. So once rugby finished, I started kind of cracking into these adventures or challenges.
So talk to me a little bit about the charities that you're going to be supporting as part of this particular challenge.
Sure, yeah. I have three charities partners, and the first one is Médecins Sans Frontières, or also known as Doctors Without Borders. They do amazing work in about, like, 70 countries around the world. They're emergency medical aid, so they go into the front lines of natural disasters or conflicts or humanitarian crises, you know, and a lot of their doctors and nurses and anesthesiologists will be pro bono. So they need a lot of support, obviously. So I think the values they promote are pretty amazing. So I was always wanted to do a little bit for them. MADRA is my second charity. They're out in Connemara. They rehome abused and abandoned or neglected dogs. I'm a dog owner and a dog lover, so and a Galwegian, obviously. So I wanted to support them. And the last one is a school for street children and orphans in Kigali in Rwanda that a friend of mine started up a few years ago, and we're hoping to build a new school out there, a new building for the school. Sorry, so currently there's about 50 pupils between 4 and 9, so they're all crammed into one little room. So, yeah, we're nearly there. About between 60 to 65,000 raised. It's gone amazing. There's been a lot of support and a lot of people donating. So, I'm incredibly thankful.
Well, Damien, it's been lovely to chat to you this morning. We wish you all the best in just a little over 10 days' time. 10 days and 12 hours now it is, as I'm watching the countdown on your website as we chat. And please God, we'll be talking to you. Will it be 60 days or will it be 140 days? Well, hopefully it's going to be closer to the 60 days for you
I hope so
on the other side of that Atlantic Challenge. Thanks a million for talking to us on Spirit Radio this
morning.
Thanks,
sir. Sure. Thanks for having me, Wendy. Appreciate it.
So if you want to find out more about Damien and his adventure, if you want to get involved and support some of the charities as well, and he's got some fantastic images from some of the other challenges he's done as well on his website, it's damienbrown.com.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.